This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening to An Hour of Disruptions. That's right. From disruptive changes in higher education that could make the college experience of the future unrecognizable to the alumni boosters of today, to disruptions in law enforcement from a Supreme Court decision yesterday. What is self-incrimination when your own DNA can turn you in? And with the disruptive effects of social media, kids, we learn, are inventing their own forms of privacy. But first to a trial that's all about disrupting governmental privacy, the power to declare things secret. In many ways, the trial of Army Private Bradley Manning, which began this week, will be a trial of the United States government. Those powers of secrecy and the government's ability to control information regarding matters of national security. It will also be the most public showcase yet for a very disturbed young man who has reportedly suffered during many months of imprisonment and isolation since his arrest on espionage charges more than 3 years ago. But Manning may have already won his broader case against the U.S. government. He claimed his purpose in leaking documents was to spark a domestic debate over the role of the military and our foreign policy in general. By compelling the government to justify its policies of secrecy before a judge in open court, Manning has forced that debate on the government. An open debate that was always part of Manning's original rationale in giving secret documents to WikiLeaks in the first place. This trial, in short, will be like no other. But motions, briefs, and transcripts of pretrial hearings have not been made public. The government is fighting to keep virtually all of the proceedings secret. And joining us now for more on the attempts to keep the public away from this trial is Shaina Khadidal, who is a senior managing attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Shaina, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
In a sense, the whole idea of secrecy is what's on trial here, aside from Bradley Manning himself.
That's right. One of the interesting things about this trial is that journalists who were covering a trial like this, if it were happening in ordinary federal district court, would have access to the transcripts of the daily proceedings to check their notes every day when they're writing their stories. They would have access to the parties' briefs before they stepped into court so they could read them ahead of time and understand what the parties were arguing about. And then they would have access to the judge's decisions when she issued orders on important issues in the case. So they could read those documents and write their stories accordingly. But in Bradley Manning's court-martial, which started this week, the journalists trying to cover it don't have access to any of those things. The judge has not allowed any of those documents to be published. And the strange thing is that it's not because any of the content in these documents is classified or secret in any other way that making them public would threaten national security. Instead, the judge has just decided she doesn't have to publish any of the documents. So when she issues an order, for instance, she'll read it out loud in open court. So any of us who can squeeze into the courtroom can sit there and listen to it. But she won't give the actual document out to the journalists. So the journalists sitting in the press room are, you know, comparing notes frantically as the judge reads these orders out. Sometimes it takes 2 hours at a time, going at 180 words a minute. And, just as a practical matter, it makes it kind of impossible for journalists to cover this very complex trial in a responsible and accurate manner.
Well, what steps have already been taken to try to open this trial, including steps that your organization has taken?
Well, sure. So the pretrial proceedings have been going for more than a year, and we started as far back as last March by writing letters to the judge saying, look, this is a ridiculous situation, and the First Amendment, which guarantees open access for the public and the press to the courtroom itself, also similarly guarantees access to the significant judicial documents that are filed in a case. And of course, the judge didn't think that was the case. She told us that we could just go request the documents through the Freedom of Information Act, probably after the trial was over. And so we went up to the military courts of appeals. We spent 2 months in the Army Court of Criminal Appeals. They rejected our claims with a one-sentence order that had no explanation. So 5 days later, we appealed to the Supreme Court for the courts martial in the United States, the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces. And we argued that case in October. And then the court sat on it for 6 months and then finally issued a 10-page decision, very short decision, a few weeks ago that said, you, the media, and members of the public, you don't have the right to even set foot in this courtroom and argue for access to the documents. Even if the judge decided to shut the courtroom doors for no rational reason, with no issues of secrecy or classified information at stake, we couldn't do anything about it. So that's why a few days ago, we filed a lawsuit in federal district court in Baltimore seeking access again to these documents.
And this is really very much about the specialized nature of the military courts. It's not the whimsy of one particular judge. It sounds like the Pentagon does not want this Manning trial to change any sort of procedural precedent in terms of access to the public to military courts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The issue of access to the courtroom itself was argued and fought over and decided many years ago. There were a lot of sexual misconduct trials against officers in the late 90s. One of them resulted in a decision called ABC versus Powell that very clearly established that the press can go up in the military courts of appeals and argue for access. But it's a question of documents. It's kind of new. And, you know, it will come up again this year. You know, if we don't win in this case, the Ndal Hassan trial, which will happen in a court-martial, will probably take place under similarly sort of restrictive conditions of access to documents. That's Ndal Hassan, by the way, the Fort Hood shooter. So it's not just important for this case, but I think, one of the important points to take away here is that if you're sitting in the government's position and you want journalists to not cover a case, the worst thing you can do is seal off all access to the case, you know, to tell people they can't even come into the courtroom, because that kind of thing piques the media's interest. But what they've done here is basically just make it extremely difficult as a practical matter to cover the trial. And they've kind of cut off the flow of interesting detail that comes when you get to actually read the party's briefs and sort of dig into the factual detail of the case that way. And I think that's what you see in this case. You know, it's the most important court-martial trial since Milei. It's the most important case involving government secrets since the Pentagon Papers. And yet for the last year, when we go down to the pretrial proceedings, there are maybe two or three members of the mainstream press there. It's astonishing how little coverage there has been of this case, and I think a lot of it is down to the fact that the rules of access have created kind of this simulacrum of public access.
Finally, do you get a sense that the court will consider the case of Bradley Manning on the terms of the defendant himself, that he will get to argue the kinds of issues that he raised in his rationale and in some of his pretrial statements? Or is it going to be a very hard crackdown on the very specific issues of the leak?
Well, the judge has already ruled that a lot of Manning's political motivations for the leaks can't come in into evidence. You know, so for instance, you know, the very idea that he did this because he saw war crimes and he wanted to report them, or that, you know, like the leaker of the Pentagon Papers, he wanted to show the American public that the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were not going as well as they had been led to believe by our elected officials. You know, those things won't come into this trial at all. And I think in the trial in the Court of Public Opinion, the fact that journalists don't have access to these documents during the trial means that a lot of the information that supports those kind of claims also won't end up being reported on.
Shane Akatadal, Senior Managing Attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.